Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Hey guys, it's Travis Cronin, and you're listening to Us Weekly's Hot Hollywood Podcast. As always, I am joined in my home studio by the loveliest, smartest, most intelligent ladies on the Us Weekly staff. We have Miss, formerly baby girl, Sarah Huron.
Hello, hello.
And the lovely Regal and, you know, pretty smoking hot, Gwen Flamberg. What's up?
Well, hello, Regal. I love that.
Gwen's compliments just keep getting better and mine just keep staying the same. I just like to say that.
Okay, I'll try to find something nice about you next week. We'll see how much research that takes me. Probably longer than these news topics. But let us move on. This, you know, we're here to take you out of the dumpster fire that may be your 2020 lives and take you into the dumpster fire that is celebrities 2020 lives. We have, you know, A-listers, pop stars trying to get their music back. We have men's in dresses. We have church cults, some eye patch related makeup incidents, some reunions, some court drama as always, and some celebrities who almost died in a wrestling ring and celebrities who've developed vaccines for America. But before we get into all of these topics, we're going to start with our intentions. And as I always say, we're doing pretty good over here. I feel pretty good about how we're doing. So we are setting intentions for the celebrities that we care about, things we want to see them start doing more of or just stop doing altogether. Gwen Flamberg, who is your intención para this week?
You know, I don't think that you guys are gonna find this surprising. My intention is for Prince Harry.
Okay.
You know, he's been doing a lot of this do-gooding all over the place. I would like him to do some good for his family and also all of Great Britain and the world, and just go home for Christmas, see the Queen, your grandmother, who, by the way, is about to celebrate her 73rd wedding anniversary with Prince Philip. Can you believe it?
No, it was 73 years.
They just released a new picture. They're at Windsor Castle. They're looking at the most adorable card, a homemade card.
It's adorable.
Princes George and Louis and Princess Charlotte made. You know, they're just like us.
Yes, they are.
They get homemade cards from their grandchildren. And, you know, I just think that Harry needs to buck up and go do some good for all of us.
And hopefully Prince George just had all of the 90s iconic supermodels and Hannah Montana posted on his card. You know, that'd be very, you know, Prince George.
Well, the Prince George that we like to think he is because of Gary Jannetty.
Exactly. Because of Gary Jannetty's Prince George, of course, not the real one. Sarah Huron, you look like you have an axe to grind this week. Who is your intention for?
Don't I always? I mean, first, I just want to make an intention for the people to watch The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City because
yes, I second that.
It is so good. There's only been 2 episodes, but it's just like a pure Housewives silly drama. The stakes are high because we got Mormons, but they're also extremely low because we're fighting over the smell of a hospital. And let me just, you will not be disappointed. It's the perfect escape right now. And it was filmed pre-corona, so there are no masks in sight, which is just refreshing.
It's really lovely. I love also that one of them married her step-grandfather.
Yes, never forget. I have been trying to find ways to compare that to members to my family. I'm freaking everybody out. I keep texting my cousin, like, imagine if you had married this person, and they're over it. But also, so that's for the people. After, you know, you leave a 5-star review for this podcast, go on BravoTV.com and watch Real Housewives. And for my celebrity, I would like Harry Hamlin to find Amelia Gray, daughter of Harry and Lisa Rinna, and tell her that she's not allowed to see Scott Disick anymore.
Oh, because that is Sarah is the biggest Courtney and Scott ship.
Yes, I ship Courtney and Scott till the end. And I also am finding it harder and harder to do that if Scott is going to keep dating younger and younger women. I did a whole history of his, the women he's been linked to post Courtney, and he's getting older and they're staying the same age. And that's
a
problem.
It's all teenagers. You know, my intention was also going to be for Scott Disick to stop dating teenagers, just like in general. I know people grow up faster when you're in Hollywood and LA, but, you know, as Matthew McConaughey said, he keeps getting older, but they keep staying the same age.
Right. Yeah, Sophia was 19, I think, when they started dating, and now she's 22 that they broke up, and now Amelia's 19. So it's like, after Amelia, who the hell's next? I don't want to know. So just stop.
Well, she's probably not legal yet or out of high school, the next girl, but she's coming. After 2 years with Amelia, there'll be a new 17 to 19 year old girl. But maybe if your intention rings true to Scott Disick and more importantly to Harry Hamlin, this could all stop now.
I hope so.
Well, my intention is for Miss Demi Lovato. I always, even though she's like really tough to like, I always want the best for her. And she just posted a picture today of her getting an undercut where, you know, she shaved all of the head under her hair, leaving with her with like a cool, like overgrown pixie, just like a young cool girl haircut. And my intention for her is that this is a positive head shave moment, like when you re-dye your hair after you go through a breakup, and not like a Britney in 2007.
Travis, It is. And if you and our listeners want to read all about it, go to usmagazine.com/stylish, because we got the exclusive with her hairstylist.
Oh my God, great. So this was an empowering cut.
Did you see her make fun of her engagement on the People's Choice Awards?
Yes, I did. I loved that.
Me too. I was hoping she was going to, I barely watched the People's Choice Awards, but the part I did see, I was excited that she addressed it because I thought it would have been really lame if she didn't.
Me too. It was actually the best part of the show for me. Let's put these out into the world. I can feel them permeating through the celebrities right now. And let's dive into some news. I have to start with this one. It is a huge story this week and ongoing for years now, starring Miss Taylor Swift versus now infamous villain Scooter Braun. Scooter Braun, if you're not familiar with him, well, good. But he is also a celebrity manager, Ariana Grande, Justin Bieber. He was just Justin Bieber forever. And now he's with Demi Lovato. And so it all started when Taylor left her original record company, Big Machine Records, and then Scooter Braun bought up the whole company, which means he's in control of most of her work, all of the early stuff. So then November 16th of this year, Scooter sold all the master rights to Taylor's first 6 albums in a deal worth $300 million. Taylor said in a statement that she was still, you know, no one talked to her, no one asked her about this, or asked her if she wanted to buy her own music. So she is currently in the process of re-recording her first 6 albums. Taylor Swift hater and then come around fan Sarah Huron, what are your thoughts? You must feel bad for her.
I mean, listen, anyone who's listened to this podcast for the last, what, year or two knows that I have a love-hate relationship with Taylor Swift. We've come so far. I used to be a super fan. Then I fell off. Folklore brought me back in. And this whole drama from the beginning has been so interesting to me because it is a business deal to some extent. And I feel like maybe it could have been handled better. And obviously she was pissed that Scooter bought Big Machine. But at the same time, like, he did. And it's his right to. And you can be mad at your record company for betraying you and selling it to someone who you hate. But like, it's not technically his fault. However, with all these new developments and these accusations of her saying that his team wanted to sign her to sign some like crazy NDA about how she couldn't say anything about him and trying to silence her. And I mean, her team is saying that they tried to, now after they got over the initial shock and betrayal of it all, which I thought was a little dramatic, they tried to buy the and negotiate with Scooter's team, and they wouldn't let them until she signed this crazy NDA, which like no one makes you sign an NDA unless you have something to hide here. It doesn't make sense. So now, yeah, I mean, Scooter, just give her goddamn music back. She's going to pay you probably millions of dollars for it. This is stupid. Like, I don't trust him.
That's what's really, really messed up about it is that we know Taylor Swift would fork over those hundreds of millions of dollars to all these rights, but Scooter chose to sell it to a private equity firm. And it's sort of a trend right now of Wall Street equity firms buying up people's masters to then sell them for commercials, movies, or whatever. But he did it so shady where he didn't want his name on the sale as still profiting from her music after it was bought by the equity firm. So when Taylor found out that Scooter was still getting money from it, he tried to hide that from her at first. He had that in an NDA that the company could never tell Taylor that he was profiting off of it. I mean, shady, shady, shady.
Right. And it's a whole nother different debate on like whether you should be able to sell an artist's music without their permission. Like probably not, but that's something that the music industry needs to figure out like amongst itself, because this is like a business deal. But like she did sign that contract, even if she's young, whatever, like there's no getting around that. Like, I don't think they should just hand it over to her. That's a flaw within the music system. But everything that's come out in these last couple of months, it's just like, it seems like he is now going out of his way to just be like, you know,
a total
dick. Not accommodating. Yeah. Just be an asshole kind of. And I don't know, that whole thing with his wife and the feud. Like I just want to know how like Ariana Grande feels about this, because I feel like she's been able to stay neutral. And I want to know like the tea.
Me too. I really want to know Ariana Grande's permission on this. Oh, side note, really excited that Ariana Grande has recently signed up for Mariah Carey's Christmas special, because of course they had a huge feud. Ariana Grande, before she released any music, has an amazing cover of Mariah Carey's Emotions where she does the whistle tone perfectly. And then someone called her the new Mariah. Nick Cannon said this in a radio interview and it pissed Mariah off so bad. So the two have like hated each other. Ariana Grande said some shady things, but now they're coming back together. So, you know, Ariana seems like a good place to learn and grow and hopefully get away from Scooter. All right, Gwen, why don't you take us to some happy news about men in dresses? No, not drag queens, just Harry Styles on the cover of Vogue and, you know, all the flack he got for it.
It's pretty crazy what's been going on, but there was nothing crazy about that cover, Travis. Harry Styles covers Vogue in a custom Gucci gown designed for him by Alessandro Michele, of course. He looked phenomenal. And then Candace Owens, who is a conservative author and commentator, she tweeted, "There is no society that can survive without strong men. The East knows this. In the West, the steady feminization of our men at the same time that Marxism is being taught to our children is not a coincidence. It's an outright attack. Bring back manly men." Now, before I go into the backlash that thus ensued, first of all, what is she talking about? The East knows this? Have you been to South Korea? Men wear makeup and handbags.
Hell yeah, I do.
You know, obviously. But, you know, here's the thing. Obviously, at this moment in time, everybody believes, or everybody who's not an idiot, Candace Owens, believes that people should be able to inclusively represent themselves, express themselves however they like. And many, many celebrities came forward to defend Harry and to defend Vogue, and also Harry's mom.
Yeah.
Spoke out to say that Harry always loved to dress up. He loved a fancy dress moment. His mother encouraged his sense of expression through fashion and music and anything from when he was a tiny little tot who must have been really adorable.
I do too. I mean, if a man's wearing a dress and it makes you uncomfortable, it says a lot more about you,
Candace. That's a personal problem.
Exactly.
Also, why are we acting like Harry Styles is the first guy to wear a dress? If you read the story, you also know that you know that he's talking about like Prince and all these other artists who he has admired and is now kind of, you know, emulating and stuff. It doesn't even make sense. And I just like, I'll never understand people getting upset about something that just doesn't affect their lives. Like there's nothing, that magazine cover has no effect on your life.
That magazine cover was astounding and groundbreaking because Harry Styles was actually the first solo male to appear on a Vogue cover. And I just loved the history and fabulosity of that moment.
Right. I don't mean it as like it has no effect. I didn't mean it like that. I just mean if like you don't want to celebrate fashion or like men and like then, okay, don't. Like it, like just keep it to yours. Like I just don't understand the need to get involved in this discussion.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was a hot mess. Harry, you look beautiful. Don your pearls. Don that gown.
Yeah, also, by the way, Harry Styles is absolutely gorgeous no matter what he's wearing. And that's just a fact. So...
Yeah, Candace, calm down, girl. Just look at that majestic face and, you know, slow your roll, girl. Well, let's talk about our current favorite cult. You know, we talk about cults a lot here on the Us Weekly Hot Hollywood podcast because it's a very Hollywood thing. But of course, we are talking about Christian Church, Hillsong. There have been some new revelations this week. We talked about it the last 2 weeks. Carl Lentz, who was the head main pastor of the church, Justin Bieber's best friend, father figure, who the hell knows, rehab coach, was fired from his post, asked to step down because of moral failures when he had an affair on his wife of 17 years, Laura. So they were just photographed this week after they sold their New Jersey mansion, which Justin Bieber lived in for a hot second, and relocated to California. And were spotted going out to dinner with their kids and like putting up a united front. And in the new issue of Us Weekly, we have some testimonials from former Hillsong members who say that Carl is sort of a product of what the church has become, which is celebrity obsessed, social media follower obsessed. They really ask you to give them 10% of all of your earnings and your money. You have to pay for seats towards the front. You have to pay to go on all of these long excursions to move up to the church. And it really just don't seem right. Any thoughts, Sarah, on the, you know, what Carl is up to in the Hillsong drama?
I mean, listen,
you're only thinking about Kourtney Kardashian right now, aren't you?
No, I mean, yeah, I know she's like definitely up in there. Celebrities and churches have been confusing and fascinating to me for a while. I think it's interesting that now Hillsong has, you know, sounds a little Scientology-ish with paying for certain things. Whereas, you know, I don't know a lot about the Lord, but I thought his love was free. And I'm very interested to see if Carl Lentz kind of fades away or if he still stays like in this A-list circle. You know, that's more where I'm interested.
Me too. It seems like the way the church is set up, they are not really allowing their people to worship for free. And it's sort of set up like a business. And it's just really not the way Christianity seemed to intend this church to go. Well, Gwen, speaking of things that, you know, didn't go as intended, please tell me why Kelly Osbourne is wearing an eye patch on all of her dinners out with TikTok stars.
Yeah, why is she hanging out with TikTok stars also? If you know the answer to that, please enlighten me.
I find it sort of interesting. I agree. But, you know, all of this happened due to a glam accident. Can you believe it? So, you know, she tweeted, when your makeup artist says, don't move, don't move, don't move at all, the 36-year-old shared on her Instagram stories on Monday, covering one eye with her hand. So basically, her makeup artist stabbed her in the eyeball with a mascara, which, you know, can happen. The makeup artist tried to take responsibility for it. But of course, Kelly said, you know, it was my fault. It really was my fault. I moved right into it. I really hope I get an eye patch because that would be a effing look. So, you know, she's just sort of, she's rocking that look. And, you know, she said, the only good thing about this is that it does look like I could maybe poison you and kick the shit out of you just by looking at you. So,
I mean, I sort of like the eye patch on her a little bit.
I think it's a kind of cool accessory, you know?
Yeah.
I've got your eyeball heals. It should. It really should. You know, just scratch the surface a little bit. I think she's going
to
get it.
Has that ever happened to you, Gwen? That sounds terrifying.
It it's never happened to me because I have excellent hand-eye coordination, Sarah Heron, when I apply my mascara. I have occasionally gotten a bit of mascara on my eyeball, and that always me out a little bit, but you know, I know things. I know how to fix these things.
Oh God, when you can see that black like dot on your eyeball from that one piece of mascara, you can feel it.
Yeah, it's like the tiniest little microscopic speck, but it feels like a boulder is in your eye.
Oh yeah, no, I do hate that. Pass. Well, you know, I have no way to interlude this, so I'm just gonna say, speaking of Grey's Anatomy, smoothest transition in hot Hollywood history. Sarah Heron, there was a gigantic moment for Grey's fans out there, which is, you know, a lot of the general public of this country. Tell us what went down.
I mean, I was one of the people sitting on my couch watching the 2 hour season 17 premiere of Grey's Anatomy because I'm no quitter and I still watch that show. Pretty tipsy at this point because it's towards the end of the night and during Shonda shows, you know, you got to knock back a few to get all the emotions running. And next thing I know, Meredith Grey is sitting on a beach after passing out from a two week long coronavirus shift at the hospital, passes out in the parking lot. She drifts off to a beach and freaking Mick Dreamy, Patrick Dempsey himself, is on the other side of the beach yelling, "Meredith, Meredith." And then she's like, "Derek." And they're like, "I miss you." And I'm like screaming on my couch.
I mean, unlike you, Sarah Heron, I did give up. I gave up seasons ago, but I was such a stan the beginning, the first like 3 to 4 seasons. I would have died had I been watching this episode. So you were duly rewarded.
Thank you. And I was live. I had no idea. There were no spoilers out there. And I don't always watch live just because, you know, there's a lot of TV on Thursday nights, but it was the premiere. So I was watching it live and I'm so happy I did, because that moment, I was just so mind blown, mostly because I didn't think Patrick Dempsey would have done it. So at first, right, I thought it was like a stunt double, like just someone with hair and they were going to like
a hologram.
Like a Rob Kardashian hologram, Robert. But then they zoomed in and it was definitely Patrick Dempsey, and Ellen Pompeo revealed that it was her idea. The showrunner was like, "I think we're going to have Meredith have Corona and have these crazy dreams," because she had read something about having crazy dreams when you have coronavirus. And she was like, maybe she can get some visitors from some old, you know, co-stars that have, you know, passed in the show. And she was thinking more Meredith's mom, who we've seen before, Alice, in dreams several times. And Ellen Pompeo was like, "Let's get Patrick." And I think the showrunner was like, "Is that an option?" Like, she was like, I didn't think we could do that. Yeah. And then Ellen Pompeo called him. They went on a hike. They talked for the first time in 5 years since he left the show, like, you know, put any whatever behind them. And then they filmed this amazing scene, and he's going to be in more episodes. They didn't say how many, and like I think he filmed like 4 scenes total, so we're gonna see him pop up, and then I think we're gonna see other people pop up too, so I'm so excited.
That's still so cool. I'm not a Grey's Anatomy fan, and even I love that Mick Dreamy is back. It like still fills my heart, even though I've never seen an episode of the show.
And so it's like we're acting like it's 2007 already, because we got Meredith and Mick Dreamy back together. I mean, he left the show in like 2010, but still, or 2015, sorry. So it's been 5 years. But then we have Isaiah Washington bring up this old Katherine Heigl drama on Twitter from things that happened during season 3 of the show. So like, yep. I tweeted this the other day. I'm like, Castle Grey's Anatomy just hates 2020, that they're just like pretending it's the past.
Well, thank God for that, Grey's Anatomy. They really gave us something that we all needed. And watching Sarah's Instagram story and many of my other friends blow up, it seemed like it really made a big difference in people's lives.
Yeah, and that was the point. Patrick Dempsey and Ellen Pompeo were like, if we can make people happy in this horrible year, like who are we to stand in the way of that? And I was like, you're so right, and thank you so much.
Well, we can move on to some sad news. Naya Rivera, 4 months ago, drowned in a boat that she rented along with her young son in Lake Piru. She died in July after her and Josie rented a pontoon and went out. The two decided to jump in the water for a swim, and they did not make it back because
Josie
of weather.
Did.
Well, yes. Oh, sorry. Josie.
Yeah, you made it seem like Josie was dead.
No. Okay. So Naya and Josie went for a jump in the water for a swim, and only Josie came back. Naya, sadly, was found 2 days later. And the father. Days. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Naya was found 5 days later, and thanks to the Sarah, Naya was found 5 days later, and now her baby daddy is filing a wrongful death suit against the pontoon company, saying that there was not adequate rope, no anchor, radio, or security mechanisms to prevent swimmers from being separated from the watercraft. And it sort of sounds like if there was none of that stuff on the boat, that he really might have a case. Gwen, your thoughts?
Everything that we heard about that case when it happened pointed to some sort of negligence on the part of the boating company or the park that rents out the boats. So it does sound to me like he has a case. I never really understand, though, like, just let it lie. Like, why do you want to stir up all of this stuff?
The only thing I'll say to that is, because when he's suing the county, the boat, and like the Parks and Rec department, which I think the reason for that is, you know, they're saying there were no signs of things. They were saying that the you know, lake should have been closed that day because of winds. There's a lot of different factors, and that's, you know, to prevent hopefully this from not happening again. So as painful as it probably is for him her ex-husband filed it on behalf of, I don't know if it's her husband or I don't remember.
Baby daddy, they're not married.
On behalf of the 5-year-old son.
Right.
I think they were married.
Actually, no, they did get married because she's one of those crazy people that kept her wedding date and married a guy who looks exactly the same as her broken fiance.
Yeah, she married him and they got divorced. They were divorced by when this happened, but he filed the suit on behalf of Josie. And I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but hopefully it'll make at least this lake maybe make some changes.
Yeah, I'm glad that he's like doing it for the right reasons. Speaking of people, we're trying to figure out doing things for the right reasons. Sarah, let's talk about Megan Kidd Edmonds and her drama with COVID. We've been seeing her battle her ex-husband, Jim Edmonds, for so long now. And they were talking about Corona and threesomes and the kids. And now tell us what's going on.
I know, ironically. So Jim had coronavirus back in April, and that was when him and Megan are still in the middle, and they still are in the middle of their custody battle. They've been separated for a full year now, but they're still fighting. Oh, they have three kids, a three-year-old daughter and two-year-old twins, and they've been fighting ever since. You know, a lot of accusations of infidelity and all that. But Megan just announced that now she has coronavirus, and his rep went to TMZ and accused Megan of acting irresponsibly. And then Jim's daughter, Haley, who Real Housewives of Orange County fans will remember, was on the show. She was one of her Megan's storylines, was like being a stepmother, and Haley was the daughter who was living with them.
Who did not like her at all.
Yeah, did not like her from day one. And she went on Instagram and said, "I have a question for you," and like tagged Megan's Instagram and said, "I'm glad you can quarantine easily by yourself after exposing me, my dad, Courtney," Jim's girlfriend, "our nanny, and Haley
Jim's
and my siblings."
Girlfriend.
Yeah, no, stop. "Landon, Sutton, their home, brother and stepfather. Oh, and your own kids. But if you knew you were exposed on Tuesday, what is your reasoning for insisting on taking Hayes to his soccer game and coming to our house on Saturday?" And just like going back and forth. And of course, Megan released a statement saying, "I will not comment on the ridiculous blasphemy by others. I am focused on my health and encourage everyone to stay safe."
Blasphemy. You know, I want them to stop fighting, but you know, it gives us something to talk about, and it's super interesting, and I sort of like the pettiness that's involved. So my intention is now a second one to keep it up.
I know, it's like these kids are still pretty young, so I feel like it's safe for this, but like both ways, I've never wondered. Megan King Edmonds was always one to like write a lengthy blog post about her marital problems. Jim is always one to go on Instagram or have a rep statement or whatever. So they both make it public, and then they both bash the other one for making it public. So I think that they're just in this toxic circle. And I mean, I don't know, Megan King Edmonds, like maybe you shouldn't have gone to the soccer game if you thought you were exposed to coronavirus. Just throwing that out there.
You know, absolutely. Well, speaking of couples who did not make it, Gwen, I know this one tugged at your heartstrings for so long because they seemed so cute. Olivia Wilde and Jason Sudeikis have sadly broken up after being together for so long.
I mean, it is a shocker, Trav. And it sounds like the oldest cliche ever, but Olivia and Jason really did just grow apart, according to our sources. The source tells us they've been separated for months now, and there really is no drama. They're handling this like adults. It's all about co-parenting their kids, Daisy and Otis. That's the priority for them. No one expects any big money grab or custody battle. Olivia has a very promising directing and producing career, and Jason has films lined up. Of course, there were arguments and fights over career decisions and where to live. Like most couples, they had disagreements. They were bi-coastal, but Jason loved living in New York, and Olivia, who was born in NYC, was leaning towards LA. I mean, it's sad, Trav, but this happens. It's kind of interesting to me that they just had like this extended engagement, right? Like they never actually tied the knot.
Years and years, yeah.
And the other thing is that, you know, she was like a movie star when they got together, and he was a guy on SNL. Like,
yeah,
I think that there are always inherent issues in relationships where the woman is a bit more powerful than the man.
Yep.
Well, especially when they got together, she was like on House, and she was more of like a TV. And I feel like now she's like director, movie star. Like her star has kind of risen, and obviously his has too. But I feel like she's kind of a big deal these days.
It was just tough because they're both such like intelligent, well-spoken, put out amazing, I don't even want to call it content, but you know, pieces of art, these celebs, and they were just so cool. And I'm glad that there's not going to be a money grab, and they seem to be, unlike Megan and Jim Edmonds, being adults through this whole thing. So it makes the burn a little less.
I always sort of compare them, and maybe that's my bad, but I always sort of compare them to Emily Blunt and John Krasinski. Like they seem like the same kind of couple to me. And it just sort of bums me out that like they couldn't make it work, especially because, you know, it just always hits me like during 2020 when this couple just like, they couldn't make it through the pandemic. They couldn't sit with themselves in one place, you know, together for a long time. It's super sad. But, you know, Jason Sudeikis, I remember when he was on the prowl before he settled down with her, he was one of those guys who every hot older lady in Hollywood was playing with, Cameron Diaz, Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
Remember? So, you know, I think that he's got a little something that will keep him popular with the ladies. No.
I agree, though, Gwen. They are kind of like an Emily Blunt and a John Krasinski, and I would be really sad if they broke up because they're just all, it's just like good people involved on both sides. Like just a couple people can get behind. So it's always sad when we lose one of those other couples. It's like, oh, I saw that coming, or he was too good for her, she was too good for him. Not a shock, but sometimes like one just is like, oh, kind of sad. Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan were like that for me. Like there's a few where it's just like, eh, I kind of just figured they'd be together.
Yeah.
But like Gwen said, he attracts like the hottest, most famous women in the world because he's so smart and funny. So he'll be all right. And
my personal theory is that I think he's got a little something else.
Oh, you think he's packing downstairs for the ladies?
I think he's packing and also knows what to do with the luggage, you know?
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
Okay, great.
Duffel bag. I mean, it's the only explanation.
The carry-on and the extra item for above. Great. Good for you, Jason. Well, we are going to talk about a celeb we haven't talked about in this podcast for a while, Mr. David Arquette. Usually we talk about David's more famous sisters. Sadly, Alexis passed and Patricia, of course. But David Arquette has a new documentary about his deathmatch wrestling. So 2 years ago, I remember reporting on this story. David Arquette faced off against an ex-con named Nick Gage in a deathmatch, which is, if you're not familiar, which hopefully most of you are because you're listening to the Us Weekly Hot Hollywood podcast, is the most hardcore style of wrestling where wrestlers swing chairs, baseball bats, the like. And David Arquette was seriously hurt when he got hit by a chair and he had blood gushing out of his neck. He tried to get up and pin Gage, but he couldn't. He was holding his neck, holding the blood in. And he recently told an outlet that this match nearly cost him his life. I was in over my head. I was about a half an inch from death. And he decided to go back in the ring after fellow pro wrestler Jack Perry, who is the son of the late Luke Perry, assured him that he was not going to die and that Luke Perry's son, Jack Perry, was the one who took him to the hospital. And now this is all coming out in this new documentary. It's wild. Any thoughts on this blood gushing death match, ladies?
I mean, I love Luke Perry, so that's cool, but I don't really care about David Arquette's wrestling. Maybe he would like to be a judge one time on Celebrity Birthday Boxing Mania.
Oh, that would be great. Okay, here's this new documentary. We'll get him for next week. As you guys know, my co-hosts do many other things other than this job, as we all do. But
I wish
this
was my full-time job.
Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be so great?
Daily episodes?
No, just every daily episode. We just like talk shit about celebrities. It's great. No, we all do a lot of other different things. And my co-hosts, you know, try to usurp me as stage coups all the time to promote their own products. So we carved out this little section for Sarah Huron to talk about Here for the Right Reason and Gwen Flamberg to tell us about usmagazine.com/stylish. Sarah Huron, the Bachelorette took a different turn. There's some new buzzwords. There's some new douchebags. What be going on?
Right. As always, you can get your full recap on Us Weekly's Here for the Right Reasons podcast. We had a great episode this week.
I just said that, Sarah.
I'm just reiterating it. You know, sometimes you mumble. Here for the Right Reasons, Us Weekly Bachelor podcast. We had a great episode this week with Katie Morton, who was on Tayshia's season with her, Colton, and Paradise. So she knows her. So that's always interesting to get that insight. Yeah, this week we had the grown-ass man challenge. So it was all about how Tayshia wants a man and not a boy. We had a lot of questions about who was there for the right reasons. Spoiler alert, none of them are.
Nobody, yeah.
Yeah, I fell
you
in love with
You could
tell
by the
Ben.
Way they cast that show that none of them were going to be there for the right reasons.
But then it comes to the question of what even is the right reason in 2020 Bachelor? Like, the love story is sadly kind of the bonus now. Like, if you do have a connection with the person, that's great, and you shouldn't, you know, be there. You shouldn't be closed off to it. But you really... You just be open to the experience. Don't be too thirsty. Have a few reasons why you like the person that aren't just about their body, and you should have smooth sailing.
Her body is really amazing, and it's one of the reasons I really love her.
That can totally be one of them. The big debate this week was whether calling someone a smoke show was a good thing or a bad thing. I think it's a great thing as long as there are things you like about them besides their physical attributes. That was the whole problem with Chasen. They were like, all you do is compare. You say the same things about Claire and Tayshia, so why do you like one and not the other? And he was like, well, Tayshia's a smoke show. And it's like, dude, they're questioning you. Maybe come up with one thing that wasn't about her looks to try to shut them up. Like, no one can back you up here, you know?
Yeah, I do. I'm telling a group of like young, fame hungry guys to be interested in a woman for anything but their looks sounds like a really tough job for ABC Bachelor producers. Gwen Flamberg, tell us what happened in the world of celebrity fashion beauty that you were into this week.
Well, Trav.
Yeah.
There have been two phenomenal red carpet events, the People's Choice Awards and the Country Music Awards. And of course, Us Weekly has all of the hottest red carpet looks from both events. Go to usmagazine.com/stylish to see every hot look, including Demi Lovato hosting the People's Choice Awards with her like mega, mega, mega long hair. Mm-hmm. And then changed into a blonde wig. We've got both looks, of course. I also really love a post that we have up right now, which has a video interview with Us Weekly's own Christina Garibaldi and Elizabeth Holmes, who is the author of the new, very juicy book, HRH, So Many Thoughts on Royal Style, where Elizabeth Holmes tells us how Kate Middleton had to up her style game when Meghan Markle came along. It's something we long opined on. We've got galleries dedicated to how Kate Middleton's style changed when Harry started dating Meghan and then marrying her. But this video interview is like extraordinarily juicy. So I encourage you guys to go check it out on usmagazine.com/stylish.
Love. That's my favorite part about the Royals. I actually really will check that out. Speaking of people with amazing style, are, you know, always and forever queen, Miss Dolly Parton has, you know, truly, I was obsessed with her podcast, her PBS podcast, Dolly Parton Heals America.
She did a podcast?
Yeah, she did a podcast with NPR. And it's because the son of her hand surgeon, Dolly went in for hand surgery, and this guy's son was a PBS podcaster and just went into her doctor's appointments. And then she said, okay, this podcast, this amazing thing. So Dolly, he's a longtime friend of hers. Longtime friend of hers, her surgeon was at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, and Dolly Parton gifted Vanderbilt $1 million to help the battle against COVID-19. And now she has like really almost like self-funded most of this research, and they now have like a plausible.
Yes, Dolly had funded Moderna like unknowingly, and now Moderna has also created vaccines. So basically, Dolly Parton truly is saving America and humanity.
She is. She
is. Nothing but respect for my queen.
Seriously, I watched the Dolly Parton documentary on Netflix last night. It was so good. She has a holiday special coming out. I mean, she really is a gift that we do not deserve.
She's not just Miley Cyrus's godmother. She's all of our godmothers.
No, but that was like a huge break back in her career. She like didn't have anything going on, and then Miley brought her back in the spotlight, and here she is decking the halls and with all that she's got, the wigs, the boobs, the songs, I love her.
Travis, Dolly has always been in the spotlight, but Miley did make her...
A new generation of fans, I think.
An icon for a new generation of fans.
Well, in her documentary, they were talking how from 1999 to like 2004, she was doing nothing except for releasing bluegrass music that was not selling. And she was playing tiny little bar shows until she got a new manager and he got her out there. They released an album, and then she was on Hannah Montana, and now she's like all up in America again.
Well, how about that she created Dollywood, perhaps the best theme park to exist anywhere in all the land, and when I am vaccinated, Yes. Moderna vaccine. My first stop post quarantine is going to be Dollywood so I can pay homage to the queen.
Yes. And right when you walk in there, there is a hologram of Dolly that welcomes you. She was a big pioneer in the hologram technology at Dollywood. All right. And then before we get to some games, let's talk about a notorious supermodel feud that is still going on. I'm talking about Naomi Campbell versus Tyra Banks. They have had a feud for decades now. Naomi Campbell was on the Tyra show and Tyra was sort of being like, you are mean to me. And Naomi was just sort of like glaring at her. Do you even know Gianni Versace? They hate each other forever. And yesterday, Naomi Campbell added to her Instagram stories a new article from The Things titled, Here's Why Fans Are Starting to Think Tyra Banks is the Real Mean Girl, Not Naomi Campbell. And in this article, they were talking about how we talked about how on TikTok it blew up that Tyra Banks was actually horrible to like really, really non-forward thinking, horrible bullying to all the girls in America's Next Top Model, and how she was actually the mean girl. And Naomi Campbell just sort of, you know, retweeted that story. And the standout line that she took away is the woe is me Tyra narrative has definitely worn off with all of these accusations. Sarah, I know you love the America's Next Top Model, how horrible Tyra is to her models' TikToks. What are your thoughts on Naomi versus Tyra?
You know, I think it's kind of funny that now she's like seeing these because it's like a little delayed. And now Tyra's like her new thing is this Dancing with the Stars. Like, some people are liking her, some people are hating her. It's definitely been an interesting switch to the show. But yeah, I mean, I think those clips from America's Next Top Model speak for themselves. It was definitely partly of the time. I think Naomi is a diva in her own right. So these two are never going to get along.
I know. And I really, Tyra's like so growing on me the last couple months, because while we didn't have any red carpets, she would still show up to Dancing with the Stars every single week doing a red carpet. And like,
she acts like it's the Tyra show.
She does act like it's a Tyra show, but that's sort of her brand, is asking like everything is the Tyra show.
I think she's great, but just this show is not supposed to be about the host. Like, it's a weird show to like have a tone switch like that. But I'm very interested to see she's a producer now too. So I'm very interested to see if they keep her around.
Yes, she is. All right. Well, before we take it to the boxing match, we are going to play another game of Loose Talk, where we go into the magazine. There are five this week. They're pretty funny, quotes from celebrities this week. And our co-hosts are going to see to put their celebrity knowledge to the test and see if they can guess who said all of this. All right, number one. I was the guy that if some kid popped up and started crying, I'd be like, are you effing kidding me? And now suddenly I'm the guy with a kid on Starting a Family.
Who had a kid recently?
It's not that recent. He had twins, and his wife is an amazing icon with her own job. And the story was recently, he just confirmed the National Enquirer story from a few years ago that he gifted 14 of his friends $1 million in 14 different briefcases in cash. Gwen, do you know what celebrity gifted 14 of his closest friends $1 million in cash?
Shawn Mendes.
No, it is George Clooney.
Oh, duh.
Like $1 million in Casamigos.
No, he signed on to do Gravity with Sandra Bullock, and they did not think the film was going to make any money. So he instead, in lieu of a salary, he would take royalties on the movie he thought was going to be not famous. The movie turned out to be a gigantic box office hit. And he's like, my friends, you know, brought me here. So he went to a, quote, undisclosed warehouse in downtown Los Angeles where they keep mountains of cash, and just filled 14 Tumi briefcases up with $1 million of cash and had all of his friends over for a dinner party and gifted it to them at dessert. Amazing. All right, we have number two. I got into painting, photography, meditation, and tested the limits of Postmates. Unlimited. Also, I got engaged.
Demi Lovato.
Okay, thank you, Sarah Huron.
Oh, wow.
In her monologue at the People's Choice Awards.
That is it. Okay, next one. I'm quite sure that if it weren't for Goldie, I'd probably weigh 300 pounds by now. Goldie's a beast.
Kurt Russell?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Sarah. Yes, that is Kurt Russell, her husband.
Hudson. Like, I was kind of like, it's got to be. I thought it might be a trick question and it couldn't be Kurt Russell, but It was.
The Kate Hudson was a good guess. All right. And the last one, there are probably some things I would not be doing because Michelle would leave me.
Barack Obama.
Yes.
New book, A Promised Land.
That is it. The number one bestseller from any former president in the history of the world. Great. That went way better than last time, guys. Thanks. All right. And now, do you know what it's time for?
Oh, we're going to hit some people.
It's celebrity birthday boxing mania. Yes, we are back in the imaginary celebrity boxing ring that we have staged in our own little Zoom rooms here on the podcast. The first one up is for you, Sarah Huron. It is RuPaul, who turns 60 this week, versus Scarlett Johansson, who turns 36 this week.
Tough.
Wow, Black Widow versus RuPaul.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I don't know. Let's give it to RuPaul.
Okay, good. RuPaul's 60. Let's give it to him. Ding, ding, ding. Congratulations, RuPaul. Okay, our next battle, Gwen, it is Snooki, who turns 33 this week, against Miley Cyrus, who turns 28 this week.
I mean, Travis, these are death matches. I don't even know.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Really tough because Snooki, she is scrappy. However, I'm sure she had one too many and Miley is not her right now.
Okay.
Ellie can't be tamed.
She cannot be tamed. All right, Sarah Huron, we have Katherine Heigl, who turns 42 this week, versus Sarah Hyland, who turns the dirty 30.
Oh my God. I mean, poor Katherine Heigl just can't catch a break with still getting shit on from Grey's Anatomy from a decade ago on the week of her birthday.
Yes.
I'll give it to her. Sorry, Sarah Hyland.
Oh, let's go Katherine Heigl. Katherine Heigl can have something.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Gwen, we have former Dancing with the Stars judge, Bruno Tonioli is 65 this week versus Tina. Yes, 65 this week. And then versus Tina Turner, who is 81 this week.
I mean, is this even a contest?
No.
Anybody, forget about Bruno, who, you know, I respect Bruno and I respect his very strong opinions. His opinions are strong, but you're no match for the strength of Tina Turner's legs. She would just do one of those wrestling moves where she would get his neck in between her very strong calves and just, he would snap like a twig.
Yep, that's a very Black Widow move. All right, Sarah Huron, we have a new matchup now versus RuPaul, 60, and Miley Cyrus, 28.
Oh, well, they would obviously just hug it out. Those two are not fighting. They are okay, like one, cute. I feel like.
All right, that's bad. That's nice. Well, then we have Gwen, Katherine Heigl against Tina Turner.
I mean, Katherine Heigl, she's lean and mean, but Tina Turner at 80 or 85?
81.
81, she would knock her blonde hair right down to the mat.
She definitely would. And then in the three-way battle at the end, I'm going to go with Sarah Huron, said Tina Turner, Miley Cyrus, and RuPaul just have a lovely trio moment and just sing and dance, wigs, glitter.
They quick line right on out of there. I'm sorry, Sarah Huron, but I'm jumping in here because there's no other ending.
I agree.
They kick line right out of there. Well, thank you guys for joining us this week on Us Weekly's Hot Hollywood Podcast. Do not forget to give us 5 stars. We deserve them, no less. And tell your friends, family members, those you won't see Thanksgiving. Maybe you could all just listen to the Us Weekly Hot Hollywood Podcast together over dinner. Wouldn't that be nice? We will be here next week with all of the latest celebrity news that you need in your life. And we'll see you then. Thanks for listening. Bye.